God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello! Greetings, Earthlings. It's the dog poet, howling in the olive groves of Lord Ayahuasca as a no-show. I guess it happens sometimes. You look to go somewhere that you know the answers are, and the magic copy vine doesn't want to take you there. But my provider, when informed, he immediately promised to provide me with all of his variations for next weekend. Not that weekends or weekdays make much of a difference with me. I've been barely hovering of late due to inexplicable states of near intolerable unease. I couldn't locate the source. It led to the loss of my house keys and car keys. Luckily, I had another set of house keys, but the car keys have proved to be a lot more expensive than I would have imagined due to someone not knowing what they were doing, but confident they did, and this extended to nearly everyone involved. With the exception of me, as far as I can see, but then I didn't presume I did know anything and couldn't really understand what they were talking about. It'll be okay. I have to replace the door locks in the house, too, so my goodness. Though Lord Ayahuasca did not make an appearance, he did leave me with a lasting glimmer, which has pressed the shadows back into the box for a time. And I'll just motor on under that assumption. My invisible friends have been saying, and there's a half a dozen or so main members, maybe more, they've been saying the same thing when I come wondering about what's going on. They all tell me just to endure and that very soon, very, very soon, I'm going to be experiencing something like the greatest transformations of my life, which are beyond my capacity to comprehend. So isn't this stretch of bumpy highway worth it? Well, I've been hearing about this coming event for a while, actually since the last time Lord Ayahuasca really did show up, which was a couple of years ago, but I've been told this is really near even in my time. You know, in other words, you know, usually it's often like divine time, which can be some time indeed. But they said, no, even in your time, it's very, very soon. And I'm reassured of this by them. You know, they're all in accord. I've known that something had to be coming at some point because there has to be some explanation for all this weird phenomena that composes what I euphemistically call my life. I can't imagine that it doesn't get summed up somehow. I haven't shared much of my personal end of this equation in this regard. Some, yes, but really only a very little. It's not usually a good idea to discuss supernatural, hyperdimensional, off the charts, too wild for cable events that can be called routine in this case. I have little idea, and the little idea I have only complicates my understanding of whatever it is that I don't get, so which is also routine. I'm talking about this tonight, because since I've mentioned that I've been getting hammered over recent days, I've heard from a number of people who are experiencing similar things. One wag said to me, I don't know, Visible, hearing this kind of thing from you, what hope does that leave for the rest of us? I don't know how to take that, or even if I should, but my position has been not to pass myself off as something I'm not yet. As a result, it has seemed useful to me to share my struggles, you know, and my occasional falls from the donkey cart, while paying less attention to where the donkey was going than to what my mind got entranced by and thrown off course as a result of. We're experiencing freaky weather, and it's personal insofar as we operate from the personal plane. That might be our problem. Nearly all of us are trapped to some degree in our personalities, and our personalities are what interacts with others and acts as our identifiable face. That's a mouthful of a word. Identifiable face to others and to ourselves. But this is not us. This is like clothing that we put on. Unlike clothing that we put on, we don't take it off every day. Wait a minute. Some of us do. We do when we fall asleep. However, when we wake up, we're that same temporary person again, operating as an independent, self-interested entity among billions of like beings. Behind the personalities of all of it and them resides the cosmic self. Because we operate as personalities, we need to put ourselves into the position of Arjuna, who has surrendered his personal chariot to the Supreme Reins Master, Lord Krishna. Arjuna has no more problems, unless the Supreme Personality wants to create them for the purpose of, well, bringing Arjuna closer. Now, those who have surrendered to the Supreme Divine are no longer subject to the wheel of miseries that plague the rest of us. Most of us are willing to stay on that wheel in the hopes that we'll hit the karmic lottery and be invited to dine with all the important people we wish everyone else knew we were one of. Most of us will endure all kinds of things in the hope of some ridiculous reward. It doesn't look ridiculous to those who behave in a ridiculous fashion to gain the reward, like going on a game show or something. And maybe in some ways life fits that description. While residing in the temporary world of the personality, I might add, though, or that world that is also described as containing all kinds of words and conditions like, I don't know, ego, false self, old age, suffering, death, and rebirth, and all the yada yada, I don't want to hear it stuff that annoys most people. While residing here, we are subject to the same things as everyone else, which only differ by degree, intensity, and frequency, you know, of occurrence. Good and evil are relative terms about two directions. They're departing oppositely away from some unnamed and unknown mean, which might also be a direction that goes somewhere entirely different. That's the place I'm interested in getting to. I want to go to that place where everyone else doesn't seem to want to go, but they will pursue hell in the meantime. I don't want to go where all those religious people want to go either. Then it occurs to me that there won't be a problem because that place doesn't exist in the way they understand it, with some version of a white guy with a beard and a lot of boring harps and possibly even some of those excruciating hymns that I used to hear that drone on and on like the nasal drip of some Church of England parson somewhere in the catalog of metaphors for all occasions. The nasal drip, I assure you, is much more fascinating than the sermon you'll have to sit through, and I'm not one of those people who, well, who find nasal drips to be riveting entertainment. Did I digress somewhere? I was talking about something, but, well, it doesn't matter if I lose my place because I'm always talking about the same thing. That is the thing that is everywhere and composes everything, but no one can see it. It hides in plain sight, but it's not hiding. It's far more real than the temporary awareness that we're oblivious to, and who, in which, I guess, holds its representatives in contempt as they strut and preen in the most embarrassing vanities of self-adulation, smeared in cosmetics and scents like a dog who rolled in roadkill and thinks he's going to be the hit of the kennel tonight. He probably will. These people are surrounded by each other in a dance of personality worship, primarily their own. The only exception to this is the awe and deference extended to those perceived to be higher in the pecking order, whom they're hoping to replace. Sooner or later, all of them wind up in some family-packed box at Kentucky Fried Chicken. The pecking order had no impact on the destiny of the type. Oh, well. Where was I? Who am I? What am I doing with invisible friends while still walking around loose on the streets? The divine has been very gracious to me. Really has. I wanted to be a recording artist and a successful songwriter, you know, employed in the truth game at the, oh, let's say, the division of higher love. Well, that didn't work out. I wanted to write this or that and engage in all sorts of things that didn't work out because I wasn't supposed to be thinking about any of that, but I was. I wanted to be with this person or that person at that time, and sometimes I was and sometimes I wasn't, and was no doubt spared from deeper injuries, like those I experienced at the hands of the ones I did spend time with. Romantic love, right, is a nightmare. I know people celebrate it and desire it more than anything, while managing to make themselves, I guess, increasingly more unattractive to the version of the divine that moves behind the eyes of every lover in romantic love. Until he or she sees what is actually going on, the divine that is, and then moves on to the next couple, in the next room, with a different set of clothes that masks the self with the veil of personality, ever seeking that perfect merger which it already possesses. The divine, that is. Yeah. My point is that I was thrown in all sorts of things and later told that this was done intentionally. Don't even try to imagine what the divine might put you through or into for some unknown purpose. This is what makes trust so important, because trust is what is being developed when you take every situation, no matter what, and say, okay, what are you trying to show me? I was told that I was being put through these things as a precursor to unbelievable events for which I would need to be anchored. But this is the case with all of us. If we're not feeling this, then we're investing our time in other things. This is nothing else, my friends. There is nothing else. That's all window dressing and illusion. So why are we perpetually deceived about this? Because the personality is a liar whose mind is its enemy and seducer. Oh, it can be explained in a lot of ways. I've used a few thousand here and there. That's small potatoes in the explanation racket. And almost no one wants to hear it. It constantly amazes me that people do not want to hear about the only thing, literally, hard literally, that is important to them. They cry and bitch about the problems, and when you show them the simple solutions, they say, oh yeah, right, right. Then they don't employ it. Now, this used to confuse me for a while until I realized, of course, they are the problem. And in order to solve it, they have to change, and they don't want to do that. Does this sound insane? It is. And it's called normal. That's why I'm looking for a new Shangri-La, even if it includes only me, because I can't think of where to go through the usual routes and the surface of the moving traffic dance. It's heating up in the cities and elsewhere, in airports, train stations, bus stations, ports of call. It's all become an international version of the dating game with guns. Well, I suppose there are whips and chains too, but you don't have to go on a date to get them. All you need to do is get a job and go to a bank. Our minds have to be occupied with the divine at all times. Try it. It seems incredibly hard, doesn't it? Why is that? Because you don't know how to go about it. Just like romantic love. The ones who are the best at it are the seducers, because they know how to play the game, which is all it is for them. They'll be getting played in the next reel. Sounds stupid? It is. But don't mess with sense gratification or the instant fix in any of the department store floors of the Emporium of Human Intoxication locations that covers the gamut of what people desire. Survival, power, sex, gold, they all got their floors, and that whole floor is the atmosphere of the thing. Most sex is masturbation with a partner whose image has been replaced by the person they wish they were with. All the things and people / possessions that you schemed and lied so hard to gain or seduce are now living proof that you didn't know what you wanted, and now you're stuck with it. More or less, maybe, maybe not, and ergo, that's where we got our disposable culture from. Yes, indeed. And that's why we throw out all of the old traditions that used to hold together a society for a good reason in its own way, even though those who can live outside it are allowed to. They're not really seen by the authorities anyway. However, but they throw these away to justify everything else that you do. But you're not going to gain any new happiness by making yourself free when you're still the same person that caused the problem in the first place, are you? Well, I suppose I'm all over the map tonight, trying to land the same plane from all possible angles, which is impossible, without landing the plane until my 15 minutes are up. I know there are people that will agree with what I have to say, and those who will disagree just to be doing it, or telling me I left something out and that it tastes better if you add this. Well, taste is subjective, and like a lot of things, people will lie to you about it. They'll lie about the good time they're having and all kinds of things because they don't want to tell you the truth. But don't feel bad. They lied to themselves first. But truth shows up anyway. Can't be avoided. You can't make truth behave because it can't be altered to fit anything. Everything else gets altered. So let me rummage, I guess, around in my head and see if I can locate the initial thrust. Well, that initial intent of what I wanted to go on about in the beginning. Somewhere beyond this dense litter of words that interpose themselves and between what I was talking about and what I'm trying to talk about now, lies my subject, and I'll see if I can get back to it. The purpose of life is to shine, and to shine you have to be tempered and polished. Outwardly for the vain and inwardly for those with a clue, and clues, ever more revealing and defining clues, are all you will have until it wakes up inside you. That changes everything. It's at that point that life begins, and all the ideas everyone has about how to get there and what rules to follow and whatever all turn out to be unimportant in the face of that which blows all the rules right out of childhood and every tricycle it rode in on. What seems real beforehand and what turns out to be real in the aftermath are not identifiable as each other, except that you knew there had to be something or someone, didn't you? And what do you know? There is. So the time to get busy about remembering is now. And the not knowing how to go about it part is, that is where you put your romantic love. You woo the divine. You make it magic and defiantly real in the face of everything that's not. It's how you learn to play an instrument or do anything well. You love to do it. The divine is very vulnerable to being loved. The divine cannot stay away. The divine is drawn by its own nature to that which is the cornerstone and eternal generative power of life, sustaining power and dissoluting power, or dissolute power of dissolution, love. Yes, indeed, my friends, a simple thing understood basically in these days on a very superficial level, but with depths unimaginable. Unimaginable. Kingdoms and corridors and labyrinthine passageways that go off in directions beyond anyone's awareness, because in many cases, many parts of them remain unexplored. There's no end or limit to it, and it moves in all directions. Well, there's so much that could be said about it. You could talk from now till doomsday break and just have still be in the preface, I guess, or something like that. Anyway, looks like I'm getting to the end of this show here, so well, I hope I managed to get back here where I was and there on my way, and however I worked that out, and I'm bidding you adieu for the evening. Well, I'll be here again next week if there is one. In the meantime, you'll either spend your time on some feature of everything else, or that upon which everything else rests depends on to exist. So let's conclude with aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.